We are in the theme this month on our theme card, it's care. And I always enjoy the theme cards because it kind of helps me with my focus for lessons as I study, and I hope it's being a benefit to you as well. Today I want to talk about, and first of all I want to give acknowledgement to all of those service men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. Hope I'm going the right way here. And focus a little bit on what that means for our remembrance this weekend. We are honoring and remembering those of, with Memorial Day, those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. And to kind of put our mind along the lines of this lesson, I want to talk about the story of Lieutenant Seal Michael Murphy. On June 28, 2025, I hope I'm going the right way here. I should probably do this myself because I'm not sure. Did I do it right? Okay. On June 28, 2005, in the mountains of Afghanistan near Asabadad, a four-man Navy SEAL reconnaissance team had been inserted deep into the hostile territory, Taliban territory. Michael Murphy, Danny Dietz, Matthew Axelson, Marcus Luttrell. Their mission was to observe a Taliban leader operating in the region. Soon after insertion, the team was compromised and surrounded by overwhelming enemy forces in brutal mountain terrain. Communications failed, ammunition ran low, and escape became nearly impossible. The team had to make decisions. They desperately needed to contact headquarters for support, but every attempt to transmit from cover failed. To make the call, someone would have to leave the concealment and move into open ground, fully exposed to enemy fire. Everyone understood what that meant. Michael Murphy volunteered, not recklessly, not emotionally, but deliberately. He stepped out from cover into direct enemy fire, fully exposing himself on the mountainside so the transmission could get through. Bullets struck him repeatedly. Still, he calmly completed the call, requesting support for his team. According to accounts from the battle, his final words reportedly included, "Thank you." He then returned to the fight before succumbing to his wounds. Because of that call, the military learned the team's location, rescue efforts were launched, and Marcus Luttrell ultimately survived. Murphy was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor. Now, this story embodies the warrior ethos because it reveals that the highest warrior virtue is not aggression, it is sacrifice and love. The warrior ethos says, "I will not quit. I will not leave my brothers." others before self, duty, even unto death. And Murphy lived every one of those principles. His actions strongly reflect greater love hath no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends, as was read in your hearing. Murphy demonstrated courage under fire, unwavering loyalty, calm under chaos, self-sacrifice for the sake of others. Not because he hated the enemy more, because he loved his brothers more. The warrior ethos reached its highest form when strength becomes sacrifice. A warrior's greatness is not measured in how many lives he takes and what he is willing to give to protect others. You know, Memorial Day is not about glorifying war. It's about remembering those who willingly bore sufferings so others might live in peace. Stories like Michael Murphy's remind us that freedom is never free, courage is never cheap, and love is most visible when sacrifice becomes personal. I became intrigued by his story and many others. This is just one of many others that are available to us to remind us that we are made in God's image. More than 1.2 million military members have lost their lives in the line of duty since 1775 on behalf of this country. This includes over 646,000 who died in combat and more than 539,000 who died from other causes, such as disease and accidents while in active service. Memorial Day is a day of remembrance. It's a day of gratitude and sober reflection. We honor those who willingly stood in harm's way for others. The warrior ethos of courage, sacrifice, discipline, loyalty can reflect biblical virtues when surrendered to God. These men and women of valor remind us that we are made in God's image. To tap into those values in those stressful times between life and death made me want to go into this study and think about what the scripture teaches us about the heart of a righteous warrior. 1st and foremost, thank you to anyone in the audience who has a family member or had a family member serving in the military who lost their lives as a result of their commitment, not only to their team and the mission, but to this country. Also, thank you to all who are active duty in their efforts to walk in those footsteps. God recognizes the calling of a warrior. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. I don't know what it is in our country today, except that there are so many people dying, not for as honorable a cause as a mission of war, but people have become desensitized to death. And even worse yet, careless about the commitment to fight for this country. But we need to recognize God's calling. We need to recognize that God recognizes the calling of the warrior. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. We are not always in war or at war, but when it happens, God acknowledges the time for it. Dropping down to verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Most people want to attribute the role of the warrior and the role of war with religion. And I've had a saying, I think I got this one in the military, don't know where I got it from, but a man who will not fight for something will fall for anything. This is why a man of God has to have a warrior's ethos. Because there will be a time to love. There will be a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. I dare say that we are in such a time. Romans chapter 13 and verse 4. Romans chapter 13 and verse 4. For he is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God and an avenger. God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. This scripture reminds us that, first and foremost, we do not glorify violence. But it recognizes the necessity of protection, utilizing governing authorities for such protection. Luke chapter 3, verse 14. Luke chapter 3, verse 14. Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone, by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." John the Baptist speaks to soldiers without condemning honorable service. Warriors can serve as defenders of the innocent. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this, we know the story of David and Goliath. We won't read any particular verse, you know the story. David was a warrior who God recognized in his role to lead the children of Israel. David confronted Goliath to defend God's people. His courage is not an aggression. Courage is obedience despite fear, and he had fear. My hope is that we can honor veterans and fallen service members without idolizing war itself. My hope is that we will not be ashamed to pray for military families and those who are carrying the invisible and almost impossible for some wounds of the loss of their loved ones. The biblical warrior ethos is strength under control. Let's look at Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Asking the question, what does the Lord require of you? And you might say, well, why me? I would never join the military. For these very reasons, the idea of killing someone, if I had to, I wouldn't want to be a part of that. I wouldn't want to have that be part of my being, my legacy. But the Lord does have a requirement of you as it relates to the biblical warrior. Am I getting this? Micah. Where can I find Micah? There you go. Tucked away. Micah chapter 6. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. As it relates to the warrior ethos, I had to examine myself and think about what God requires of me. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32. What if I never go to war? I was active duty in the Air Force. I did see the front lines of what war can look like. When I was in Saudi Arabia during Operation Desert Fox, I had in my mind the mission first. But I came home. I came back. And I came back changed, appreciating this country more than I did before I went. And it was a blessing that I was able to come back and not have to find that appreciation some other way. It was a blessing that my wife didn't have to realize an appreciation for this country some other way. But since we're all made in the image of God, it made me think about those elements, those attributes, the characteristics, those values of a biblical warrior. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. We are called to be better. We are called to be patient and have discipline, even better than that of a warrior. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We talk a little bit about that in our Bible class on Wednesday. How much discipline it is just to be slow to anger. To be slow to speak and to be quick to listen. A godly warrior is disciplined with strength, restrained by character. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 through 4. share in the sufferings as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. That's a good scripture right there. That's free. I ought to have that in the barracks anymore today. We've got a lot of warriors, and after they get out, get entangled in civilian pursuits. Politics as it is. The messiness of the gossip that happens after duty, after their active duty. But the Bible tells us that a godly warrior is faithful, committed to the duty and truth, enduring hardships like a good soldier. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Scriptures teaches us to compare our earthly armor with the armor of God. The role of the helmet to protect the mind, the role of the shield to protect the body, the role of the sword, God's word, not hatred, to protect the truth. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. And I looked and rose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. A godly warrior is protective, defending the weak and the vulnerable. And then finally, John chapter 15 and verse 12 through 13. John chapter 15 verses 12 through 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. God knows that we are going into battle. Oh, you may not be joining the military. You may not be going into war physically, but if you do not adopt the godly warrior ethos in the battle against sin in your life, then you will lose that battle, because Satan is very clever. He's got a lot of ammunition, don't you know? Christ is our example of what it means to live with this biblical warrior ethos. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5. Philippians 2 and 5, Jesus demonstrates the greatest warrior ethos through sacrificial love. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to grasp, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and under heaven, or rather, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How about that for a medal of honor? Jesus is our human example of what it means to bear and exemplify a biblical warrior ethos. Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 8. For he grew, who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground, and had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, a man and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. This scripture reminds us of Jesus and his example going to war against the evils that would otherwise keep us from a relationship with God. Verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." The battle Jesus fought was for every one of us. I said, well, I'm a good person. Not good enough. Never believe you're in arrogance that you're good enough can get you into heaven. We all need the saving grace of this warrior and the battle he fought for us. Were it not for his blood that we remember every week, were it not for his body, as so well articulated by Brother Brown when he headed up the Lord's Supper table this morning, we would have no hope. We would not be here. We wouldn't have the truth to read from. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. the most powerful, left heaven to come down here to go to war for us so that we could understand the necessity of a biblical warrior ethos. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. You know, the cross looked like defeat, but it became eternal victory in this warrior. And because of his victory, we can have victory. We can have a win over sin. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11 through 16. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. And on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ is the righteous King. Christ conquered sin through domination, or rather sin not through domination, but through sacrifice. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. The highest form of strength is love that is willing to suffer for others. Fallen warriors remind us that freedom costs something. Christ reminds us that salvation costs everything. I would that we could remember the fallen with an attitude of living worthy of their sacrifice. As a military man, I would want that. I know better, but I do want it. But let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. And soon this lesson will be yours. Hebrews chapter 12. We ought to be mindful of the sacrifice of others, if just for the hope that we would live worthy of their sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand on the right hand of the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, we are encouraged to live worthy of the sacrifice that Jesus, our warrior, went to battle for us. Look to Jesus and know that you are able, with his help, to live a life that is pleasing to God. Joshua chapter 4. Verses 1 through 7. When all the nations had finished passing over the Jordan, and the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out, of the midst of the Jordan, and from every place where the priests' feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodged tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so the stone shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Remembrance should not be taken lightly. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, we do it every week. I don't care if you need to open your Bible and read it while that's happening. I don't care if you need to go into prayer. I don't care if it's listening attentively to the presenter. You make it new every week in your heart. You make it restorative to every sin that you may have committed in the week prior. You remember. We have to remember so that we can juxtapose the history of that sacrifice with how we live today and why it's important for us to continue to fight the good fight of faith. Remembrance should produce gratitude. You ever see the most ungrateful children are the ones who forget their parents? Forget their parents and their sacrifice to bring them in the world. Sometimes we can be ungrateful Christians, continuously falling into sin, forgetting the fight that Jesus did for us. And we become callous to it. We start off in the front pew and work our way to the back until we're out the door and no longer a Christian. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here because none of you would ever do that. You're here today. But you know these pews used to be a lot fuller than this, and not everybody traveled. Remembrance serves a purpose to help us have gratitude and appreciation for sacrifice. Psalm chapter 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. You know, if a nation, if we don't remember God, we're doomed. All those naysayers that don't want religion and politics to go together. If we don't remember God, we're doomed. God founded government. There's a role for it. There's a role for us in how we ought to think about government. Gratitude should produce responsibility. As Christians, we have a responsibility to this country. We have a responsibility to God to uphold a biblical warrior's ethos. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. If gratitude produces responsibility, the freedom we have from it should produce righteousness. We are living proof that we have a warrior spirit inside of us. Jesus' example is living proof that we have a warrior spirit inside of us. We are to remember his sacrifice and the sacrifice of anyone who evokes that spirit to die for his fellow man. Are we living worthy of the sacrifice that has been made for us? When I wrote these questions, I thought about the spirit of, well, not even the spirit of the airmen or women or the warriors that have gone on before. I thought about those family members who had that void because that service man or woman died for this country. And I thought, what would they want us to leave on our hearts? And I came up with these three questions. Are we living worthy of the sacrifice made for us? Is your attitude about this country such that it would honor that sacrifice? Or do you look down at it because of the silliness of the politicians that we see in the media today? Because they're really silly people. Right, ridiculous. And if there were anything to make the contributions of those warriors who died for this country turn in their graves, it would be everything that comes out of their mouth. Are we protecting truth, family, faith, and neighbors? Because when I went to war, I thought about all of those things. And how if I didn't fight for truth, if I didn't fight for the family, if I didn't fight for my neighbors, well, then we would be succumbed to all, we would have nothing. If there wasn't such thing as a warrior spirit that would fight for this country, we wouldn't have a country. Are we building peace in our homes and communities? That's a little bit more close to home, isn't it? And that's where the shame is. There are some communities in this country you can't even walk down the street without losing your life. Warriors who've gone to war come back home and die at the hand of the community that they live in. A shame before God. In conclusion, the final call of duty is for us to be watchful, stand firm in the faith, and act like men. Be strong and let all that you do be done in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do, not some things that you do, not the things you do just in church, your work, your home, your life, let all that you do be done in love. Courage without love becomes brutality. Love without courage becomes weakness. In Christ, strength and compassion meet perfectly. And so we balance it every time we come through those doors and we have a chance to read an account of his life, to read an account of his words, to read the account of the warrior who fought for us. We want to remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. Join me in a word of prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you. Father, keep us from an attitude of arrogance, an attitude of entitlement, an attitude of insensitivity. During this Memorial Day, help us to remember to have an attitude of gratefulness, of humility, and be thankful for those fallen members who have given the ultimate sacrifice for this country. Help us to look to the ultimate warrior in Jesus. And tap into our warrior spirit as we battle against sin in our lives. Father God, we pray for the veterans. We pray for the active duty personnel. We pray for the widows and the families, those Gold Star families, who did not get to see their loved one pass away in old age by the bedside, but who had their family member ripped away from them due to that commitment, due to that love for their fellow man. God, I pray that you continue to raise up men and women of courage who are willing to stand for something, men and women with integrity, with humility, and peace that we call our servicemen and women today. Watch over them, Father God. Protect them in their mission. Bring them home, if it be your will. And Father God, should they leave this earth, let them leave honorably with a warrior spirit that is pleasing and acceptable unto you. In Jesus' name we pray this prayer. Amen. It's not a lesson necessarily to become a Christian, but it's one we need to pause for. We need to be thinking on this Memorial Day why we're here, why we have it, why it's a blessing to us. But if there's anything that any one of you may need, this would be the time to come forward and let us know. We're happy to pray for you. The baptismal is ready. We'll even baptize you if that's something you also would like to do. Let us do so all together. We stand and sing the song of encouragement.